So thankful for everybody that's here tonight, especially thankful for all of our guests. Thank you so much for being here. So good to see Cletus here. And hope everybody gets a chance to visit with her a little bit. It's just been a blessing. This year has been a great blessing. It's gone by in a hurry. I told you a couple weeks ago I wanted to take a couple of Sunday nights and just kind of have a year in review and look back at the things that we've studied. And I'd like to kind of walk through that a little bit tonight, and then we're going to take a little bit of extra time at the end of the service tonight to have some time in prayer. We have a lot to give thanks to the Lord for in 2018, and we do want to pray that God will be with us and continue to bless into the new year. And so we want to come before Him with thanksgiving tonight and ask for His continued blessings as we go into the new year. But right now, if you would please open your Bibles to Psalm 96. Yet again, one last time this year, Psalm 96, and as you find your place there, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's Word tonight. Psalm 96, the 96th Psalm. The Word of God says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace yet again, we pray that You'd help us to live in such a way that would bring You honor and glory. We're so thankful for the manifold blessings of the past year and for all the things that You've shown us from Your Scriptures. I pray tonight, as we walk back through some of the things that we've learned, I pray that You would bring them to our hearts and our minds. Help us to meditate on those truths, Father. Help us to renew commitments that we need to make to You, Father, that You would help us to walk in newness of life, to continue in Your Word. And Father, I pray that You'd forgive us where we fail You. Lord, we know that we have not lived up perfectly. We know that we have fallen short in so many ways. We pray for Your mercy. We pray for Your continued grace that we can live for You who died for us and rose again. Please bless Your Word now. Please hear our prayers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. This past year, our theme has been for His glory, and I told you next Sunday night is going to be our vision night service. I'm excited about that as we reveal the theme for the coming year for 2019 and talk about things going forward, but I want to take the time, like we did a couple of weeks ago, just to kind of look back. You might remember that we started the year with a series called Behold His Glory, and we looked at some highlights, especially from the book of Exodus, as God manifest Himself. His glory was made manifest to the people of Israel, in particular on the mountain, and when God, the pillar of fire appeared by day and the pillar of smoke, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But as the people of Israel murmured against the Lord, Aaron said to the people, "In the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?" He goes on and tells them, your murmurings are not against us, but they're against the Lord. And in the midst of their rebellion and their rebellion against God and their murmuring against their Lord, their complaining, God gives them something incredible. And it came to pass in verse 10, Exodus 16 and verse 10, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And those murmuring, complaining, rebellious, stiff-necked people got to see the glory of God. And they continually, God manifest Himself to them time and time again. And I pray that as you've looked through the Scriptures this year, that you've seen the glory of God in His creation and in His power and the wonders and signs that He's done. We were challenged to declare His glory, just like our theme verse says, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. And we ought to have a desire after we've seen the glory of God to share the glory of God. When we've experienced Christ in our lives, we want others to experience Him as well. And we have so much about evangelism, so much about how to share the gospel, and we're always encouraging you to take gospel tracts and use gospel tracts and all of those different tools and evangelism methods that there are. But at the end of the day, it's really just simply this. I met Jesus. He saved me. And I want other people to be saved by him as well. It's not complicated. It's not convoluted. It's very simple. I am a sinner that's been saved by grace, and this world is full of sinners who need to be saved by grace as well. And I simply want others to experience what God has done in my life. We spent some time around Easter talking about the glory of his resurrection, and what an incredible truth in Scripture that Christ died and rose again. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central thing for Christians, and it's the most important truth that we have, because without the resurrection, we have nothing. And that's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Listen, if the dead don't rise again, then Jesus didn't rise again. He says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Listen, if Jesus was just a good teacher, and if he just had good things to say and had good teachings to give, but if he died and didn't rise again, then we are wasting our time, friends. There's no hope. If Christ didn't rise again, then you're in your sins. Your faith is vain. Everything we do in the name of Christ is worthless. But he goes on and says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. He is risen from the dead. He did conquer death and hell and the grave. He is alive forevermore, and he offers life everlasting to all who repent and believe. And so we celebrate the resurrection as well. Has been said, they faced the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths, because they were utterly convinced that they, like their master, would one day rise from the grave in glorified, resurrected bodies. And those saints that were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ were willing to suffer anything because they knew Christ rose again. They saw the risen Savior. And there may be a lot of people today that will die for something they believe to be true, but nobody in their right mind would go through torture and death for something they knew to be a lie. Those eyewitnesses who died for Christ, they knew it was true. They knew it was true, and they were willing to give the ultimate Christ. We spent some time talking about the glory of his resurrection, which led us to talking about the glory of his return. Praise God. Not only did he die and rise again, but he is coming again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, we can look at the Scriptures. We can see the glory of God. We can see those records of his glory appearing. And we can see how glorious Jesus Christ is in the fulfillment of all of those things. But one day, I'm going to see his glory face to face. I know my Redeemer lives, and in my flesh, I shall see God. Even though I'll die one day and this body will be corrupted, this corruption will happen, but this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality, and I will see Jesus face to face. Amen. Friends, we're going to get to be in the glory of God forever and ever. Amen. No sun, no moon. We don't need that in heaven. The Lamb is the light of that glorious heavenly city. You guys go ahead and think about that a minute so you can smile. Amen. This is good stuff. Amen. This is the gospel truth. And we look for that blessed hope. We long for that day. We get to a place where we long for him. We are looking for him more than we love the things of this world. Amen. I can promise you one thing, friends. The love of this world is not going to do you any favors. Right. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We need to love the Lord and long for and look for his coming. Amen. We spent some time talking about families that glorify God. I don't know that there are very many institutions under attack more than these institutions created by God, the family and the church. We know that the church is under attack today. Many so-called Christian leaders are telling us that we don't need church anymore, that the local church is antiquated, it's outdated, we don't need it anymore. And even people who are supposed to be Bible scholars are preaching that nonsense. But the church is the place to be, the work of the Lord is to be done. This is the church is to carry out the great commission of Jesus Christ. The church is to propagate the gospel to the world. The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the church is under attack today. But even more than that, the family is under attack in the world today. And the devil's done a good job of attacking the institutions of marriage and the role of husbands and fathers in the family and the role of mothers in the family. And everything seems to be upside down in the world today. I was reading an article earlier today about how parents are having a hard time keeping their boys from playing video games and how they're having these battles with their 10 and 12-year-old boys and trying to keep them off of this video game called Fortnite. And I thought, how ridiculous. I don't have any trouble keeping my kids off screens. It's pretty simple for me. I just turn it off. Amen. Right. It's not complicated. Right. But we have households where the children are ruling the parents. The children are telling the parents what to do and how to do it. And for some reason, parents are doing what they say. Friends, it ought not to be so. Christ is still the head of the home, and the husband is still the head of the wife, and the wife and father are supposed to be the leaders of the children, not the other way around. Amen. We spent some time talking about how to have families that glorify God, and it really all comes back to this. You remember this morning I told you that there is a downfall, that Jesus would bring the fall of many, because as he brought the gospel message to the world, there would be many who would reject him, and it would be their downfall. The only other place that fall, that word for fall is used in the entire New Testament is in Matthew chapter 7. But before the man builds his house on the sand is the man who builds his house on a rock. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And we need some men that are going to build their families on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need some women that are going to build their lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need some children who are going to trust in the Lord and build their lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need families that are built on the rock. And Christ is the rock. His word is the foundation. And we've got to get back to him. And when we hear his word and do his word, that's how we build. We dig deep and build that foundation and have a home that can't be shaken. We spent some time talking about stewarding our life, living for the glory of God. And I'm not going to give up on you guys. I'm not going to give up. Some of you need to get back to making New Year's resolutions. I'll give you a minute to amen that. Just take it. Thank you. God bless you. Some of you need to get back to examining this past year and looking at some things, because I know a year ago, whether you called it a resolution or not, you examined your life and you said, there's some things I need to do better in 2018. You looked and said, you know, I need to some changes need to happen. And for most people in America, the top three are this. Can you guess? Yeah, lose weight, exercise, and quit smoking. Those are the top three in the United States of America, year in and year out. Those aren't bad goals, are they? If you're smoking, you ought to quit. If you haven't heard in the last 50 years, that stuff will kill you. Nobody's seen those Surgeon General warnings? Okay. Those aren't new, are they? Okay. It's good to eat right and exercise. I didn't say it's fun, but it's good. It's good. The holidays are hard. And I won't, yeah, maybe I will. I saw a meme the other day, said I can't blame the holidays, I was this fat in August. See, it's good to be realists from time to time. Some of you don't like New Year's resolutions because you just get disillusioned. You say, I'm going to do better, and then you go a couple of weeks. It usually takes people 2 weeks to fall off of their New Year's resolution. 2 weeks. 2 weeks out of 12 months. But I want to tell you, it's good for us to examine our lives and to see how we've done in the past year and to see things that we need to change in our walk with God. We need to steward our lives for Christ. We need to stop squandering everything and wasting everything. We need to start investing our time and talents and treasures in the work of the Lord. We need to stop wasting our time, friends. These years are going by faster and faster and faster, and we need to invest our lives in the things of God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You exist for the glory of God. It's in him we live and move and have our being, and we ought to give everything to him. So I challenge you. I read a post a few days ago by a pastor named Paul Chappell, and just kind of looking at examining things from the past year, and I want to tell you, it was not easy to do. It was hard and convicting. When you start looking back at kind of how I did in the past year, it's convicting and it's not easy, but that's good. We need that. Growth isn't always easy. When I was a kid, I used to wake up in the middle of the night crying because my legs hurt. The doctors called them growing pains. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, most of you with kids, you know about that. I remember my dad, I'd wake up in the middle of the night crying, and he would rub my legs, massage my legs until I went back to sleep. Growing is not always easy. Sometimes it's painful. And spiritual growth is not easy. Sometimes it's painful. But I want to grow. A couple of times this past year, we talked about evangelism, declaring the glory of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And there is no greater task for us as a church than to proclaim the gospel to those around us. It's the first part of the commission for a reason, friends. It's the most important work that he's left us to do. There's no other institution that God has given on this planet to do the work of preaching the gospel. He has called the church to reach the world with the gospel. And we need to stay busy about reaching others with the gospel. Just this week, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I got a text from someone in our church. And he said, "I thank the Lord that you knocked on my door." Friends, we need more of that. We need to knock on more doors. We need to be after more souls. We need to see more people come to Christ. And we've got to steward the gospel well. We've got to go and reach others with the gospel in it. And it can't just be our door-to-door evangelism. That's critical. It's vital. It's something we're going to do as long as I have breath in my lungs. But friends, we've got to go to our family members and our friends and our coworkers. And you young people got to go to your classmates. And we got to go to the neighbors that we have in our communities and the people at the grocery store. We've got to take the gospel everywhere we can. Everybody here knows somebody who isn't saved. And we've got to start doing something about that. So we've got to stay after souls. We spent several weeks talking about the heavens declare the glory of God. You remember Psalm 19:1? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And when you look at creation, you see the glory of God. And we looked at so many things, and some of it was a little kind of science clash-ish, but I just want you to know that real science and the Bible go together, and you don't have to believe the lies that are out there. You can believe your Bible no matter what the world says. God's Word is true. We spent some time during Thanksgiving talking about returning to give glory to God. You remember the 10 lepers who were cleansed, and only one came back to give glory to God, and Jesus said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And friends, we got to come back to the Lord to give him thanks. And then, of course, this season of Christmas, we've been talking about glory to God in the highest. As the angels declared, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so Really, this year, we've learned about seeing His glory in the Scriptures. We've learned about sharing His glory. As we see and understand and perceive, we want to tell others about the glory of God. And we've learned about serving for the glory of God. And everything that we do in our lives personally, in our lives as a family, in our lives corporately as a church, we ought to have in mind that we're doing it for the glory of God. We're not with eye service as men pleasers, but we ought to do everything to the glory of God. I pray that as you think back on this past year, you can rejoice in the things God's taught you through His Word, that you can see changes that God's made in your life, and that He'll give you a passion, a desire in your heart, that He'll stir something up in your spirit that says, I want to serve Him more. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we consider these messages and just the truths from Your Word from this past year, I pray that it would stir up our hearts, that Your Spirit would move in us. As we consider the things that You've changed in our lives, we give You glory. And as we consider the things that we've fallen short in, that You would convict us and that we would be repentant. And Father, as we spend a little extra time now in prayer, I pray that You would hear us. Lord, that we would not regard iniquity in our hearts, that we would come before You with forgiveness towards others, that we would come asking in faith, believing. Lord, that tonight we come in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that You'll bless our time now and that Your will would be done in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this is something we've done a few times, years, and I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and I want you to respond, and then I'm going to ask a few different men to lead us in prayer.